This first deep dive of April 2023 is from Martens and colleagues. Metabolic adaptation is an illusion only present when participants are in negative energy balance, published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition in 2020. What we know, think we know, or are starting to know. It all started with Ansel Keys, but not in the way that that statement makes you think. In the last months of the Second World War, with the knowledge that liberating civilian populations and prisoners of war exposed to food shortages or indeed deliberate starvation was on the horizon, Keys proposed a study to the United States War Department to experimentally semi-starve and refeed adults. In what became known as the Minnesota Starvation Experiment, conscientious objectors, that is, individuals who refused military service for reasons of conscience, were recruited, and the study began with a baseline period of 12 weeks eating energy intakes to maintain body weight, which averaged 3,500 calories a day in the 32 men. Following that baseline control period, the men were fed 50% of maintenance energy, or around 1,500 calories a day, over 24 weeks, which resulted in 24% loss of total body weight. This magnitude of energy restriction and weight loss also resulted in a 20% decrease in basal metabolic rate, or BMR. However, what the study was particularly interesting for showing was the fact that during the final weeks of the study, the participants were in a state of energy balance, such that little further weight loss occurred. This adaptive state was possible because overall energy expenditure decreased to compensate for the energy deficit. However, while BMR did decrease, the majority, two-thirds, of the decrease in energy expenditure was explained by decreased physical activity levels. Nothing much occurred on this question of adaptation to energy restriction for some years. And then in 1995, Leibel and colleagues showed that a 10% reduction in body weight correlated to a reduction in energy expenditure 15% below the predicted energy expenditure for a given weight and body composition. This phenomenon of energy expenditure declining after weight loss beyond what resting metabolic rate would be expected to be for an individual naturally of that weight, i.e. the weight achieved after weight loss, has been termed adaptive thermogenesis or metabolic adaptation. We'll discuss the differences between BMR and RMR in the geek box below. The concept of metabolic adaptation has been offered as an explanation for weight regain after a period of intentional weight loss. But is this phenomenon a real effect or a reflection of differences in study design? Geekbox. Basal metabolic rate versus resting metabolic rate. You may often see basal metabolic rate, BMR, and resting metabolic rate, RMR, used, and it would be tempting to assume that these are different terms for the same thing. However, while BMR and RMR seem similar, they do differ in some important ways. BMR is measured in strict conditions, after a 12-hour overnight fast with no caffeine or physical activity in the 12 hours prior to the measurement. Importantly, it is also conducted under thermoneutral conditions, i.e. room temperature is held constant at around 25 degrees Celsius or 77 degrees Fahrenheit to prevent the potential for colder temperatures to upregulate the body's creation of heat, i.e. thermogenesis. RMR generally has similar experimental conditions to BMR. For example, it is measured when participants are in a supine but not sleeping position. However, it is not necessarily measured under thermoneutral conditions and may also be measured in both the fasted state, which would be closest to BMR, and also in the postprandial state while participants are resting to then calculate additional parameters such as the thermic effect of feeding. Thus, when it comes to BMR and RMR, it is a case of same-same but different. In the fasted state, both are considered the minimum amount of energy required to maintain basic body functions. However, BMR would be a more controlled measure, and thus truer measure, of this component of energy expenditure. The study. The present study was a secondary analysis of a randomized control trial that compared three 1,000-calorie-a-day weight loss diets consumed for 8 weeks. Participants were adult men and women with a BMI of over 30 kilograms per meter squared, i.e., a classification of obesity, that were not currently dieting and were weight stable prior to the study. The study was conducted in Norway. The weight loss diets were ketogenic in macronutrient composition, 70 to 130 grams a day of carbohydrate, 75 grams of protein, and remainder energy derived from dietary fat. Following the low-energy diet phase, participants entered a four-week weight stabilization phase where they were provided individualized dietary plans according to the Nordic Nutrition Recommendations, or NNR, for diet, which is 15 to 20% protein, 20 to 30% fat, and 50 to 60% carbs. After the maintenance phase, participants had their estimated energy requirements recalculated and were prescribed with an adjusted diet plan still based on the NNR and were studied for a further 9 months. Thus, the total study period lasted 1 year. The present study investigated whether there was evidence for metabolic adaptation by measuring RMR before and after each phase of the study. So RMR before weight loss, which was baseline, RMR after 8 weeks of dieting, which was week 9 of the study, and then RMR after 4 weeks of weight stabilization, which was week 13 of the study. A subgroup of participants also had RMR measured after 1 year of weight maintenance. To be included in the analysis, participants were required to have complete RMR data for the baseline, week 9, and week 13 time points. The baseline RMR before weight loss was used to calculate the predicted RMR for each participant at the assessment points based on their achieved body composition, fat-free mass, and fat mass at each assessment point and factoring in age and sex. Metabolic adaptation was calculated as the difference between the actual measured RMR and the predicted RMR at each assessment point. Results. 71 participants were included in the full analysis, i.e. baseline, week 9, and week 13, of which 45 had data available at 1 year to include in a subgroup analysis, including this time point. Average age of participants was 45 years, 33 participants were male and 38 were female. Average BMI at baseline was 34.6 kilograms per meter squared. Participants lost an average of 14.1 kilograms, which is 13.2% of their initial body weight after the 8 week low energy diet phase, which was maintained within 0.09 of a kilogram after the 4 week weight stabilization phase. Of the total weight loss, 10.9 kilograms was fat mass, while 2.4 kilograms was fat-free mass after the weight loss phase. After 4 weeks weight stabilization, fat mass decreased by a further kilogram, while fat-free mass increased by 0.7 kilograms. Primary outcome, change in RMR from baseline to week 13. At baseline, both measured and predicted RMR were identical at 1,856 calories. At week 9, immediately following weight loss, the measured RMR was 92 calories lower than predicted, indicating the presence of metabolic adaptation. At week 13, after 4 weeks weight stabilization, the measured RMR was 38 calories lower than predicted. Thus, during the 4 week weight stabilization period, the difference in metabolic adaptation reduced by 53 calories. Secondary outcome, change in RMR to 1 year. In the subgroup of 45 participants with RMR measurements after 1 year, measured and predicted RMR were also equivalent at baseline. At week 9, the measured RMR in this group was 107 calories lower than predicted, while by week 13, this was attenuated to a 49 calorie lower difference between measured and predicted RMR. By 1 year, this difference was abolished, with just a 7 calorie difference between measured and predicted RMR. In analysis to determine whether metabolic adaptation at week 9 or week 13 was associated with weight regain at 1 year, there was no correlation between metabolic adaptation and the average weight regain of 4.1 kilograms. The weight regain ranged from minus 4 kilograms to plus 4 kilograms at 1 year. The critical breakdown. Pros. The aims and hypotheses of the study were clearly stated. The study was pre-registered at clinicaltrials.gov, and there are no discrepancies evident between pre-registration and the published research. The assessments of body composition and RMR used accurate top-line measurement methods. Energy needs were calculated factoring in data from physical activity level monitors. The study was well balanced for sex, and participants exhibited characteristics generalizable to the population. The primary strength of the study is the measurement of RMR both before and immediately after weight loss and after a period of weight stabilization. We'll discuss this further under key characteristic. Cons. The primary limitation of the study is that this is a secondary analysis of data from a parent RCT. Recall that a secondary analysis, also known as a post-hoc analysis, uses data from a trial to conduct an analysis that was not a primary research question. For example, the parent RCT compared the effects of three different levels of carbohydrate in the context of a very low-carb and low-energy weight loss diet. The nine-month follow-up compared the addition of a probiotic to placebo. Measuring RMR was a secondary outcome to this research. This is important to distinguish because as a secondary analysis that is not part of the pre-planned study, in effect a secondary analysis is more akin to an observational study, i.e. primarily demonstrates associations. Key characteristic. The methodological approach taken in this study separates it from previous research that had produced conflicting findings on the presence or not of metabolic adaptation in response to weight loss. There have been two main approaches taken in this research area. One is longitudinal comparisons in the same individuals, i.e. within-person comparisons, comparing their measured and predicted RMR before weight loss to after weight loss. The second is cross-sectional comparisons between groups, i.e. between-person comparisons, comparing participants who have already lost weight to matched controls of the same age, sex, and body composition who have never lost weight. The issue with the cross-sectional comparisons is that once you have matched people for body composition, factoring in age and sex, RMR would not be expected to vary significantly because this component of energy expenditure has very little variation when levels of fat mass and fat-free mass are similar between individuals. However, the issue with the longitudinal comparisons is that if a study only measures RMR immediately after a period of energy restriction and weight loss, then the assessments may be influenced by the state of energy balance, i.e. negative energy balance. The present study also measured RMR immediately after weight loss, but repeated the measurement after 4 weeks weight stabilization and in a subgroup of participants at 1 year of weight maintenance. This provided an analysis of the presence of metabolic adaptation relative to energy balance that prior research had not considered, which leads us to our interesting finding. Interesting finding. The interesting finding, and potentially the most consequential, is the evidence for progressive attenuation of metabolic adaptation as the state of energy balance of the participants changed during the study. While metabolic adaptation was present after 8 weeks of low-energy dieting, the magnitude of this metabolic adaptation was cut in half after 4 weeks of weight stabilization. And in the subgroup of 45 participants who also had RMR data at 1 year of weight maintenance, there was no evidence of metabolic adaptation persisting at this time point. Thus, the difference between measured and predicted RMR was greatest after the low-energy dieting phase and was abolished at 1 year. That the RMR is lower at 1 year compared to baseline reflects the fact that the participants were at a lower body weight 1 year later, 10.3 kilos below baseline body weight, but consuming sufficient energy to maintain the new stabilized weight. Further evidence for the relationship between the presence of metabolic adaptation and energy balance was also evident from a subgroup of 33 participants who gained weight during the weight stabilization phase, in whom the measured RMR was 26 calories lower than predicted at week 13, compared to 38 calories lower than predicted in the overall group. Thus, the actual magnitude of metabolic adaptation was even lower in participants who gained weight, indicating that the magnitude of metabolic adaptation was relative to energy balance. Relevance. The existence of a phenomena of metabolic adaptation has been suggested to explain the difficulty in maintaining weight loss. For example, a 15% reduction in total daily energy expenditure would mean that an individual trying to maintain a 10% weight loss would require 300 to 400 calories a day less compared to a non-obese person of the same body composition. These differences are calculated based on differences between measured and predicted RMR before and after periods of energy restriction and weight loss, which have been extrapolated to infer the presence of metabolic adaptation post-weight loss to persist over time. The most rigorous study to date that suggested persistence of metabolic adaptation over 1 year was conducted in participants maintaining over 10% of weight loss for over 1 year, in which feeding was controlled and energy balanced, and energy expenditure compared to individuals who recently lost weight and weight-stable individuals. However, it is possible that the weight loss maintainers were not in a state of energy balance for a sufficient time for potential differences between predicted and measured energy expenditure to be abolished. This is important methodologically because the present study suggests that 4 weeks of weight stabilization was not sufficient to eradicate differences between measured and predicted RMR, which were abolished after 1 year. This is also supported by another study from the authors of the present research, in which 156 women followed an 800-calorie-a-day diet until reaching a BMI of less than 25 kilograms per meter squared, which was also followed by a 4-week weight stabilization phase and measures at 1 year and 2 year follow-up. Metabolic adaptation was 54 calories after weight loss. However, in the subgroup of 46 women with data at every time point, there was little evidence, 20 calories or less, of metabolic adaptation at the 1 year and 2 year measures. When RMR is the component of energy expenditure that is measured, the actual magnitude of metabolic adaptation present in conditions of energy balance appears to be small and does not appear to be a major concern for weight regain. If this is the case, then what may be? This is where we return to the Minnesota starvation experiment, in which the greatest magnitude of adaptation was observed in physical activity energy expenditure, which decreased as a compensatory response to energy restriction and low energy availability. This latter concept is important. In today's parlance, we would refer to non-exercise activity thermogenesis, or NEAT, because it is the component of total daily energy expenditure that has the greatest inter-individual variation. Hormonal adaptations toward energy conservation, for example, decreased leptin levels, may explain decreases in NEAT, which may account for up to 90% of total daily energy expenditure decreases beyond predicted levels. Thus, it may be that the critical component of energy expenditure to seek to maintain in the context of weight loss maintenance is NEAT. Application to practice. Two important questions arise. The first is whether metabolic adaptation is a real phenomenon. The second is whether it is relevant from a weight loss maintenance perspective. In relation to the first question, the evidence does demonstrate a greater reduction in RMR and total energy expenditure beyond what would be predicted after weight loss, including the present study. However, what the two studies from this group suggest is that this phenomenon is present in the context of negative energy balance, and restoring energy balance at a new, lower weight attenuates or abolishes this effect. This is not settled science and should be held as requiring further replication. Nevertheless, there is an important real-world practical application here. Getting people out of negative energy balance after a period of intentional weight loss to a level of energy intake where weight stabilizes and can be maintained long-term. In relation to the second question, it is important to note that RMR alone does not account for metabolic adaptation and other components of metabolism, including exercise and non-exercise induced activity and fat-free mass, act as determinants of RMR. This may explain why successful long-term weight loss maintainers are those who maintain high levels of physical activity.